Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today is episode number 117, Saturday Scrawl, Jasper's Game Day. While this episode didn't come out until the wee hours of Sunday, because of the late hour at which I returned home, and while I intended to wait until tomorrow to do this, the caffeine to keep me up to get home has kept me awake, and rather than toss and turn in bed, I decided to edit these interviews. I interviewed several people involved with Jasper's Game Day. Finway Jones, known as the Teen DM. She is the creator of Jasper's Game Day, and she tells us a little bit about her motivations for starting Jasper's Game Day. I interviewed her father, Aaron Jones, and I asked him a few questions about his experience and thoughts about Jasper's Game Day. Next, I interview Lucas Currell, who is the uncle of Jasper, and then Satine Phoenix, who is the mentor to Finway. Satine has flown out from California for the first Jasper's Game Day last year and again this year, and we talk a bit about her experience with that. And then I interview Jake Norman of Mini Terrain Domain on YouTube. You can find him at MTD_Jake on Twitter. And finally, I talked to Jesse Swinton, one of the owners of Zeej Games in Howell, Michigan. First, I talked with her about the involvement of her store in supporting the first two annual Jasper Game Days, and end on a note that is a little sad, as the store will be closing at the end of May, and while not exactly on the topic of suicide prevention, it is relevant to all gamers, as role-playing games have been shown to be helpful to people dealing with depression and stress and other factors, and without a location to play, that's a hole in the lives of many gamers. And finally, way back in episode 72 of the podcast from January of 2019, I discussed the topic of insanity as it is portrayed by game mechanics in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and an experience I had with that as a player, and my thoughts on how maybe to better handle the topic more sensitively. And I concluded that episode with my experience with a loved one's hints at thoughts of self-harm. And if you care to hear my thoughts on that and my experience on that, I'll have a link in the show notes to that episode. I will point out that there was not a suicide that resulted from my experience, but it was still one that has left a strong impression on me, and I would advise those who are bothered by such topics to adhere to the content warning. But that is my motivation for being involved with Jasper's Game Day. It's not just an excuse for me to go see my friend Satine. I encourage all of you that if you have the means to make a donation, and if you don't have the means to make a donation, to share the links and the information about Jasper's Game Day. And there are toll-free numbers in different countries one can call if they need someone to talk to. So please remember, you're not alone. There is always someone who can listen. So next up, the interviews. I'll run them back to back. I will share that there's a lot of background noise because it's in a game store having games. It's basically a mini convention. It's quite loud. This is the first time I've had interviews of more than one person back to back, so this will be a longer episode. I hope you find it helpful and informative. Please share this with others that we may get the word out. And of course, I'll be sharing the link to my podcast across all of my socials and encourage you to share that with your own followers and friends. They may find it helpful, and it may just get in front of the eyes of someone who really needs it. I have here with me Finway Jones, the driving force behind Jasper's Game Day, and I just wanted to ask her a few quick questions. First, we obviously know why you started Jasper's Game Day, but why a game day?
So I lost two friends to suicide in the span of 10 months, like you know, but one of them was my gaming partner in crime, Jasper. And so I wanted to do something to honor him, but also something that I love to do and use it to create hope and happiness for other people.
And you're doing a great job. I was here last year and it was quite the event, and it's grown by massive leaps and bounds in a year. And it's now in multiple states with an online component and some massive donations from some big name companies. And what do you think about that?
I think it's absolutely amazing. I am so humbled and honored to be able to even take part in it. And I love seeing how the community comes together to help solve a problem that that may not have been easily talked about beforehand, but I also love helping them be able to talk about it more now.
Yes, it's obviously resonated with a lot of people. And I guess my next question is, we have found out that Zeej Games is closing at the end of the month, and what are your plans for next year?
So right now we're not entirely sure where we're going to be hosting it yet. We're still in the works of trying to figure some things out and doing it from there. So we will be announcing it as soon as we know ourselves.
You obviously have a strong reception for Jasper's Game Day, and you're in high school right now. And have you given thought to what shape Jasper's Game Day is going to take into the future? Because if you plan to go to college or a trade school or something, how is that going to impact future Jasper's Game Day? What are your plans for the future?
So I'm kind of just taking it year by year, but my thoughts for the future is going to be that I want to continue it as long as I can. But I'm actually doing some of college right now. So I'm hoping to be able to lighten the load for later on to be able to continue it then as well.
Awesome. So forward thinking, the signs of a great D&D player and game master. What was your start with role-playing games?
My start was with my dad. So my dad and a couple of his friends have been playing for about 30 years. And so when I was around 11, he was like, I think you would like this. You have a great imagination and a love for creating stories. So let's try this. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but all right, sure, I'm open to new things. And so we did it online for a little bit every other week, and then we started playing with Jasper and his uncle and a family friend of theirs. And so everyone in that group actually drove for about 45 minutes to meet, and it started with about once a month, and then it became every other week, and then it became every week because we all love playing with each other so much. And that was like my first D&D family.
That is awesome. So I'm sure a lot of people may not know, but how did Satine get involved in all this?
So I actually met her through Alan Patrick, and he was like, we need to get you two together because you're both so adamant about females in the D&D industry and about helping people. So he actually hooked us up online and had us talk on like a recording, and he made a podcast out of it. And so then we figured out that we're actually going to be at the same GameholeCon that year, and we decided to meet, and then I supported her Patreon, and then it just kind of grew from there.
Awesome. That is great. I know she's helped give you some guidance and suggestions on your first adventure league that is now on Game Masters Guild. Is that right? That's got to be awesome.
It is absolutely fantastic. So actually, in the past, since September-ish, I have published 5 adventures. So one is in the third Uncaged anthology, so it technically hasn't come out until later this month. But it's published. So 5 since last September, and I'm super proud of that. And it feels fantastic to have all the support I do from her.
Yeah, she's a great person, and everybody really loves her. She's a lot of fun. And I'm sorry, what was the name of this individual that hooked you two up?
Alan Patrick.
And I'm not familiar with Alan Patrick. Could you explain who he is for those of us that don't know?
Yeah, so he is one of the Adventurers League admins for Wizards. He helps organize all of the AL stuff for the Midwest.
Okay, awesome. Great. Is there anything else you want the audience to know about Jasper's Game Day?
Yeah, so Jasper's Game Week is coming up for the May 12th through 16th. And if they didn't watch it, they can watch it on YouTube, on the Mini Terrain Domain YouTube channel.
Awesome. So it sounds like it's two events now, a game day and a game week.
Yes, it is. One of them is our streaming event, which is 40 hours in the midst of 5 days, and then our actual game day, which is a national thing.
Awesome. I am just very impressed with someone in high school that is able to pull all this together. I know when I was in high school, I was not this focused. And so kudos to you, and I hope you have much more success with not just Jasper's Game Day, but everything you set your mind to.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So now here I am with Aaron Jones, the dad of Fenway Jones, who we all know behind Jasper's Game Day. And so, Aaron, what I'd like to ask is, what did you say when Fenway first approached you with this idea?
Well, when she came to us about my wife and I about 2 years ago with this, and she asked if she could run or do something positive with this experience of losing a friend. And her original idea actually was just to run a DM seminar. She was going to have Satine kind of like Skype in or something and run a DM seminar. And so we started to plan that. And when we did that, the response was so large that we kind of decided we were going to change it into making it a whole day game day. And then we had someone come forward and say, well, Satine needs to be here. And they donated money to fly her here. And like, you know, the kind of the dominoes just kept falling, right? And became this big kind of a big one-day event. And that was really the only plan. So we were all supportive, and we were helping her plan it, and it was supposed to be a one-day event. And then, like, 24, 48 hours after that first event was done, I opened our inbox, and we had over 100 emails from people across the country saying, how can we duplicate this? How can we do this? And I think, you know, and that's when we kind of realized that there's a need, you know, there's a need out there, and people really want to get behind this cause. And so, you know, we kind of sat down with Fenway and we're like, what do you want to do? And she was like, well, I want to continue this. Right. And so she's really been the driving force, and we've just been trying to support her. So it's a long story way of saying, it was supposed to be a one-day event. It wasn't supposed to be a big thing, right? It was just supposed to be a one-day thing, and it just kind of took off.
Well, you never know when you strike gold with an idea that's going to resonate with others, and it's obvious that it's resonated. And Fenway is an amazing young woman, and for her to be as young as she is and seem to have things together as she does, I know I wasn't that together when I was that age, and for her to be invited to do a presentation at the American Suicidology Conference last month. That was amazing. I haven't had time to watch that video yet, but that's just amazing. So you've got to just be bursting with pride as a parent.
Well, yeah, of course. It's a definite pride thing. It's also, you know, it is a humbling experience too, to see your kid have such a passion for something and, to see her be, you know, rewarded for it, right? A lack of a better term, rewarded for it, and to see where her actions can actually make a change. So it's a really cool thing. And I think from a parent standpoint, we really focus on helping her keep the mission in mind and not get distracted by, you know, people calling up and wanting to do different things or wanting her to appear or whatever. We're really trying to keep focused on what we're trying to do.
Excellent. So I always have to ask this. What is your background as a gamer?
Sure. My friend Lucas and I have been gaming together since playing D&D and Pathfinder, later Pathfinder since we were in middle school. So that's been about almost 30 years. Same group of guys, 5-6 guys of us. We used to meet in person. Now we meet online, but we meet. And that's actually her friend Jasper is actually my friend Lucas's nephew. And so what happened is that as we all got older, we all started having kids and whatever. And so we started getting the kids together to play. And that's how she met him. And that's how her gaming group started with him. So,
okay, awesome. Well, it's always nice to meet another lifelong gamer. And that's great, 30 plus years. So what edition of D&D did you start with?
We started with AD&D. So, and then we've kind of moved as things, you know, as the new editions keep coming out, we kind of moved and moved. I will say that when 4th came out, we kind of did Pathfinder for a little while. That didn't really hit home with our group. But then when 5th came out, we went back and we've been loving it ever since.
Awesome. Well, I started with Holmes Blue Box, and it said when it comes out, you got to buy AD&D. So I've been playing AD&D ever since and didn't really know what was going on until recent years that there was something after 2nd edition. And I've played a little bit with 5th edition, not as much as I'd like, but as the opportunities arise, I try to sneak them in.
Sure.
So, Aaron, it's very awesome that you did this interview with me today. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I'll say that there are events that are coming up all through the year. So, you know, check out jaspersgameday.com. And for the calendar, we're at different conventions and have different stream events that are happening throughout the year. So love to see people attend.
Awesome. And so I imagine you're starting to think about next year.
Yes, we are. And we're looking at trying, you know, this year's event here in Michigan sold out in about 4 hours. So we're looking at, obviously trying to find a bigger space. So, that's the goal number one. And we try it. We want it to be in May because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so that's kind of where we're at. We would like to have our place nailed down here in the next month so that we can announce. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you jumping behind Fenway and helping get the word out and doing this. That means a lot. I know not only to Fenway, but to everybody that understands from having been in the situation of losing a loved one in such a manner. So thank you.
Thank you.
I have with me here Lucas Correll, the uncle of Jasper behind Jasper's Game Day. And he agreed to do a brief interview with me, and I just wanted to ask him a few questions. First, what did you think when they first approached you with the idea of doing Jasper's Game Day?
I was a little nervous. My brother, you know, the father, I wasn't sure how he'd take it, but I thought it was an interesting and certainly worthy idea, but a little nervous.
How has it turned out after the first one last year?
Pretty astounding, to be quite honest. I mean, the number of people, the amount of money they raise, it's remarkable.
So that must, in some ways, be a point of light in the darkness.
It is. It's good to, I guess it helps with his memory, and it is. It's helpful.
And this year has grown leaps and bounds and is at multiple states. What do you think about that?
I am continuously impressed with Fenway and her ability to find some good in this and what she's done. I find it, I'm almost speechless when I consider how successful she's been with this.
For a young woman, my goodness, a teenager, I know when I was her age, I wasn't that with it. So very impressive. And she's got a way with people and a way with sharing her story. And I'm really impressed. And I really thank you for taking a few minutes to just answer just a couple of questions. Thank you very much. So now I have with me my friend, the amazing Satine Phoenix.
It's me.
So I want to ask you a few questions about Jasper's Game Day. First, how did you come to be involved in Jasper's Game Day? Because this is your second annual visit as part of Jasper's Game Day.
That's right. I am Fenway's mentor. She is my mentoree. And it's really amazing because I remember when she told me that a couple of her friends passed away from suicide, and it was really hard on her. And I watched her process it. And we talked about charity work before and how important charity is. And she wanted to do something for the families. So there she born Jasper's Game Day. And Jasper is the name of one of her friends who passed away. So that's how I came to be involved.
And how did you end up coming to Michigan? That's a long trip.
They have this thing called an airplane. Yeah, I want to support her. So it's very important to be here.
That is really awesome. And you bring a lot of enthusiasm to all your projects, and you take an active role. And last year you did two seminars. This year you did two seminars, and you're doing a special epic level adventure. That's pretty cool.
Actually, it's two adventures in one seminar. And the first seminar was a 2-hour one where it was the Storyteller's Guide, which is a mashup between Dungeon Master's Guide and GM Tips. So there's like 30 of us in the room, basically, and we talked about, you know, making an adventure and then discussed why we made an adventure that way.
Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun to sit in on that one. And I've got 5 pages of notes from that, and I'm looking forward to typing that up and making sense of my scrawls. But I really appreciate you being here and showing your support and using your celebrity to help bring attention to this. I know it means a lot to Fenway and all the others, and it's always good to see you, and thank you for coming here, and I hope you'll keep your involvement in Jasper's Game Day for years to come.
I hope so, too. What I really hope to get out of that seminar that I ran is that we turn that into a module, and then we sell it on DM's Guild, and then that money goes to Jasper's Game Day.
Let's hope we can make that happen. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to tell us about Jasper's Game Day?
Go to jaspersgameday.com and hit the donate button, and you can also find out how to participate in your store wherever you are in the world and connect with Jasper's Game Day and be a part of this amazing movement that this 16-year-old Dungeon Master has created.
Thank you very much, Satine. I have with me today, here at Jasper's Game Day, Jake Norman of Mini Terrain Domain. You can find him at MTD_Jake@twitter.com. So Jake, how did you get involved with Jasper's Game Day?
So it started actually last year with the inaugural Jasper's Game Day. I found out through Satine Phoenix on Twitter that they had been here in Michigan after they had already gone home. And of course, through her, I found out about Fenway, and it just started following her and seeing what was going on and what Jasper's was and what it meant and what it stood for. During the course of doing my YouTube channel and my online streaming games on Twitch, I really felt like this is something I want to be a part of. And about 6 months ago, I was going to do a 24-hour stream, and I reached out to Fenway and to a couple other people, and people just started, they wanted to be a part of, which is no surprise. Everybody wants to be a part of Jasper's Game Day. So it just kind of happened organically. I really don't know what the exact point is where Fenway and myself and the others started forming this other thing that we were doing.
So tell me about it. It's Jasper's Game Week?
Yes. It started out, it was going to be a 24-hour stream with me and some friends. And then Jason Teeter, Jason T, D&D DM on Twitter, he said, hey, I know some people. Started reaching out to folks from Wizards of the Coast, from Adventurers League, from all over the community online, and started pulling in all these amazing top-tier players and DMs, and we had so many come on board. We're like, what are we going to do? We got to do this for a week. So we're doing 5 days, 15 games, 40 hours, nearly 75 participants, all to fundraise for Jasper's Game Day.
How many Game Masters?
15 total Game Masters.
And are these back-to-back games?
Each day will be 3 back-to-back games. From 4 to 6 p.m. is a short game. From 6 to 8 p.m. is a short game. And then from 8 to 12 are what we're calling our flagship games. And these are DM'd by the likes of Web DM Jim, Celeste Conowich, James Hake, James Intricasso. And on our last day, running an adventure out of the new Salt Marsh module, is Dan Dillon.
Awesome. And so where can we find out more about Jasper's Game Week?
So to find the most you can about Jasper's Game Week, you want to go to follow me on Twitter or go to twitch.tv/miniterraindomain.
Awesome. Is there anything else you can tell us about Jasper's Game Day or Jasper's Game Week?
Jasper's Game Week is just going to be a phenomenal coming together of the community, all with the purpose of raising money to fight and raise awareness for the prevention of teen suicide, funding crisis centers. And we do it in a fun way to have people come together in a thing that we all love, playing games, and win fabulous prizes. We got tons of sponsors, Dogmite Games, Wormwood, D&D Beyond, Wizards of the Coast, and so many more. Critical Role has supplied a autographed Tal'Dorei campaign guide, autographed by the entire cast of Critical Role. That can be won by participating in the stream and donating to get those numbers up as we are trying to raise $6,000.
Awesome. Well, let's hope that you exceed that goal by leaps and bounds. Thank you very much, Jake. I greatly appreciate all your time.
And thank you.
So I am here with Jesse, and it's Zeege Games. Zeege Games, and they are the host for this year's second annual Jasper's Game Day. They were also the host last year for Jasper's Game Day. So the first question I have is, what prompted you to host Jasper's Game Day 2 years in a row?
Well, Fenway and Aaron are literally the entire reason that my store has ever done anything D&D related. I didn't know how to play D&D when we first opened up, when the local coordinator program was still a thing. Aaron showed up at my door and was like, hey, you guys want to run D&D? And I was like, why not? Let's do it. So long story short, Aaron and Fenway have been with us since the beginning, and they're the entire reason that I know how to play, that I know what D&D is, that we have the community that we do. So I figured the absolute least I can do is help them by letting them use the space that I have. And we wouldn't be able to be at this type of space without them. So,
awesome.
You know, plus I love Fenway, I love Aaron, you know, they're good people. So, I mean, like I said, it's the least we can do.
Awesome. So, your store didn't have D&D products, or you just didn't play?
We didn't play it. I mean, he only came in, 3 months after we opened up. It's not like we've been open for forever. So he came in right off the rip and, you know, gave us a couple tables of D&D, brought us in some DMs. We started running the Adventurers League organized play program. And it kind of all just snowballed from there. You know, within the first 6 months, we were running our first epic event. So, yeah, I mean, Aaron has done a lot of awesomeness for us. So, like I said, you know, us hosting this, it's small change comparatively to what he's been able to do for us in the store.
Awesome. So you opened a game store and you sold D&D, but you hadn't played D&D. What was your gaming background?
Unfortunately, my gaming background was the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading card game. I originally opened up the store because I was like, I want to be the hub for this game. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is awesome. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is not awesome. Don't play it. But I was basically like, you know, I've been to a lot of game stores, and, you know, myself and my business partner, Sarah, we used to live out in Lansing. We both went to MSU, and we've been to a lot of game stores out there, just all across the state. And sometimes you walk into a store, and it's just not a welcoming environment, or it's not clean. Just there's a lot of things that can make a game store worth going
exactly.
to. And we wanted to cultivate that community, family-friendly game store. And so that's what we did here, and that's what we have. I think that we've succeeded on that, and that's so Yu-Gi-Oh! Sort of snowballed it, started it, unfortunately. But like I said, if you game, like, you're more than welcome to come hang out, and that was our sort of thing the whole way around, is just come game with us, come hang out.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we all have to start somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, as little kids, we start with board games with our family and progress into other things as we grow.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we keep playing games all our life because they're fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, gaming has a lot of, like, I mean, not to like get weird, but like a lot of like therapeutic qualities too, you know? Like, I game when I'm upset and it takes my mind off it. D&D, it's escapism. And I've seen a lot of people come into our store and just grow as an individual. I've seen kids that, you know, can't vocalize how they're feeling. I've seen adults that don't know how to communicate with others, socially awkward people, and just watching them grow and break out of that shell and go from someone who I kind of have to watch as they're here to make sure everybody else they're playing with is having a good time as well, to people that I actually trust to run my games. And it's just, you know, it's a really good feeling. And I know that, like I said, I know that's kind of cliche, whatever,
sure,
but it's
sure.
like, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, so many people say it is cliche because it's just so true.
Right.
You know, watching someone, emerge out of themselves and change into a better person and be able to make friends and have these conversations and do these things that a year ago they weren't able to do, that makes everything that we do worth it. That makes it all worth it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love everything you just said.
Yeah, what can I say?
So what prompted you to start a game store?
I was going to MSU, Michigan State University. I was attending for a bachelor's degree in English. And basically, I was like, first off, college is expensive, and I don't like student loans, so I can't afford this anymore. But I really don't want to work some minimum wage dead-end job for the rest of my life. What can I do? And my grandfather, he actually runs his own business. They own a press factory out in Romulus. He's been doing that since he was 17. And now it's, you know, really, 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 really successful. He takes care of us and our whole family. So I was like, look, if I approach you with a professional business plan, is this something you're willing to help me with? Long story short, a couple conversations with him as an accountant later, and here we are. And I was just like, you know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Whether it's owning a physical game store, being involved in the community, writing is really my passion. I just think that gaming really provides something for people that I think more and more people are really starting to discover. You know, things like Critical Role, things you know, live streams, Stranger Things, for example. And I'm not just talking about D&D in general, gaming in general. People are discovering it's not just nerds in their mom's basement. I mean, it definitely is that in its own capacity. Right. But, you know, families and friends and, you know, quote-unquote normal people, anybody can sit down and learn a game. And, I mean, that's all it really needs to be for it, you know. It just allows you to kind of be yourself in a comfortable environment. So,
but the story of the game store has a final chapter approaching.
It does, unfortunately.
And so, do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
So, unfortunately, at the end of May, we are going to be closing up shop. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Some of them personal, some of them not. There's a lot of changes going on right now within the industry with gaming kind of having this resurgence, becoming as popular as it is. Some of the upper echelon companies, you know, I'm not going to drop names because I don't want that on my bit, but a lot of big companies are starting to push away from supporting smaller local game stores and shipping off pallets of their product to Amazon, Walmart, whoever. They're just worried about their bottom dollar. And unfortunately, I can't compete with that. I mean, the other thing is on the business side, the personal side of things, this is a basically your mom and pop kind of deal. Most game stores are. It's just me and my partner, Sarah. We're the two employees. We work 6 days a week. We close on Thursdays because I need to do laundry. But I mean, like, you know, we're working a lot. We don't really get vacations. That takes a lot out on someone.
Exactly.
You know, I wish it was, I think if we would have opened up 10 years ago, things would have been different. We would have been a little bit more established. We would have been able to kind of flex a little bit more, maybe have something to work with. But unfortunately, how the cookie crumbles right now is it's just not going to happen. But, you know, I'm still, I can't leave this community. I can't abandon them. D&D specifically is luckily something that doesn't take a lot of structure. I want to say it does, but not like, you know, like Magic the Gathering. You have to have the product, you have to have the tournament software, etc. D&D, you just need books and people kind of deal. So actually across the street there's the old Performing Arts Center. We're renting it out twice a week, and I'm going to continue our weekly play groups there for D&D.
Awesome.
And it's still open to anybody. You sign up just the same way.
Oh, that is awesome.
And we're still going to do, we have our convention ZiegeCon that we do every March. We're still going to do that. We're actually talking about, Aaron Fenway and I have sat down. We're going to hammer out a couple more cool events over the year. So we're still going to do what we can. It's just unfortunately this sort of brick and mortar retail location that we've worked so hard over the last 3 years on is unable to compete with the big guys. So,
well, if it wasn't for rent, it would make a big difference.
Oh yeah,
but
you're not wrong there.
You have rent utilities, but you got to pay the bills. So,
and that's the thing is, you know, I don't want to, you know, I understand it. Trust me, I'm both a consumer and a seller. You know, I understand that sometimes you just can't afford it. You have to buy it wherever you can find it the cheapest. But if you like having a local game store to go to, you like being able to go there and buy your exclusive D&D covers. You like being able to go there and play your Magic the Gathering sneak peek events or any of the other games that you play. Make a point to go and support your game store. You know, if it's $5 more, do it anyway, because if you know, that $5 more, that does pay your rent, that does pay your utilities, that gives me, you know, it lets me buy the third bag of food this month for my cats because they eat so much. So I mean, it's little things like that. Like, support your local game stores if you want a local game store to go to, and that expands out of the gaming community as well.
Exactly.
If you like having, you know, if you want to see a McDonald's every block, then keep going to McDonald's, you're doing great. But if you want to see, you know, mom and pop's morning diner down the street, go there. You know, you don't have to go there every day. You don't have to exclusively shop stop there. I get it. Trust me, money's tight. That's just the world we live in. But do what you can, even if it's once a month. You know, make an effort. You know, support your local stores, whatever industry it may be, because those people are here trying to do their best and make it unique. And they just really, most of them just want to provide for their community in whatever industry they're in, especially game stores. You know, we opened the store up and I just wanted to give people a place to escape to. I wanted to teach people to play. I wanted to give people somewhere to play if they didn't have the opportunity to learn elsewhere. I wanted people to feel comfortable here. I just wanted people to be able to hang out with their friends and make new friends and learn games. And that's all we wanted. I wasn't sitting here trying to get rich. I like paying my bills. That's nice. But, you know, other than that, you know, so just support your local community, you know, shop small. I know it's everyone hammers that into everyone's head, but there's truth to it. You know,
exactly.
If you want to see Walmarts on every block, shop at Walmart. Yep, exactly. But if you like the uniqueness, if you like being able to go to these little places, if you like to support people that want to support you, go to your local stores because they're worth it. They really are. And I won't ever stop shopping locally. Just because we're closing up doesn't mean I'm going to go order on Amazon. I'm going to go to my, you know, there's other stores around here. I'm going to have to drive a little bit further, but I'm willing to push that extra dollar because those people are somehow making it work, and props to them.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do what I can to support them because at the end of the day, I still support the gaming community as a whole. And I will do what I have to do. And local game stores are the heart of the gaming community. Without them, I mean, what, you're going to go play Amazon GameDay.com or something? That's
right.
Not a thing. Let's be
exactly.
real. So, and even if it was, there's just something about face-to-face gaming that makes all the difference. You know, you can sit there. I get it. People are busy. You can Skype, do, you know, Roll 20 Fantasy Grounds.
Exactly.
Do what you have to do. But if you can make it out, even if it's once a month, even if it's once every 3 months, once a year, whatever you can do, you know, support those local stores because for some people, this is your third space. You know, this
right.
is your escapism.
Exactly.
And that's why, like I said, that's why I'm still going over there. I can't leave them out. I care, as much as I hate to say it, because, you know, I'm the hard ass of the area. I support everyone, and I care about these people a lot, and I can't leave them. I just can't.
Well, Jesse, thank you very much for sharing your story. And I hear you saying that Siege Games may not be a physical location, but ZiegeCon will live on.
Absolutely.
And you're working for next year's Jasper Game Con as part of that?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to help Aaron and Fenway. We're going to hammer out. Jasper is probably going to be somewhere local. And, yeah, everything that we do, anything Jasper's does, I share on our social media. Siege Games is on Facebook. ZiegeGames.com is our website. And you can follow us there and get, you know, double doses of whatever Jasper's is doing. But also, like I said, we're still going to do community events. We're still going to do stuff because, like I said, you know, we might not have the brick and mortar location to support us, but Siege Games as a brand is going to live on, and we're going to still keep doing what we can to support these communities.
So will you be having an online version of the store, or is it just going to be a presence for supporting gaming?
It's going to be more of a presence for supporting gaming, more organization, helping other people out, because I know there's people, like, that's the thing. Without Aaron, this wouldn't be happening without Aaron. I wouldn't have never taken the first step into playing D&D that first day. I never would have learned everything I did. And I want to help be that person for other people and other game stores, other, you know, events. If you need help with D&D, reach out to me, because I know how to organize. I know how to train DMs. You know, Aaron has taught me a lot, and I really just want to pass the knowledge on because I might not have been able to make it, but the next person might be the one that sticks around for a while. And I just want to make sure there is someone around there, someone around everywhere for people to go and hang out and do their thing and just game. I mean, that's all we really want to do, right?
Right. Well, I suggest to future and current game store owners out there, if you need a game store consultant, hire Jessie.
Okay.
I'm sure she would be glad to share her expertise in the area to help you get started or to improve what you've got.
Absolutely. Reach out to me. Like I said, Siege Games is on Facebook. You can reach out to us at ZiegeGames.com. Our email is linked there. Or if you see me walking around, holler at me. I go to lots of conventions. I help Aaron and Fenway out, and I'm more than willing to give you my my tidbit on how it all works.
Awesome. Well, Jessie, thank you so very much for this interview. As an older gamer, I started with stores, and I'm of that generation that we like to see what we're buying, and to lose a game store is a big deal, not just for you, but for all gamers that like to have a local game store. And I just really appreciate you sharing your story from start to finish, and especially for supporting Jasper's Game Day. And we look forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you found this topic informative and helpful. And if you need help, please don't hesitate to call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text 741-741. Please note, this information is for the United States. I don't have a list of all the countries that might have a suicide hotline. So please seek the correct number for your country of residence. Please give someone a chance to listen. You're not alone. Thank you all very much for listening, and game on.